We are happy to be in church, amen, this morning, amen. Amen. Praise God, amen. God's going to do some great things, amen, this morning, amen. He's going to do some miraculous things, amen. Amen. I'm going to want to minister a message, amen, I entitled, Get Baptized by the Holy Spirit. Get baptized by the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to make room for God to move, amen. I found it that there's no better day than to preach this message, because today is actually the day of Pentecost. It's the day that the Holy Spirit fell down on the apostles, amen, in the book of Acts chapter 2. And the word Pentecost in Greek means 50, meaning 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. So you wait on the promise. And they're waiting, and they're in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit fell just as God promised, and he gave it to them. That he will send the Holy Spirit. That he will send the comforter. That he will send the teacher, the helper, the guider, the third person in the Godhead, and the Trinity. It was not only for the disciples in Jesus' day, but it's for our day as well, amen? And it's not only for the first century church, but also for the last day church. Amen. And most people recognize that there's a baptism of water where you publicly go before others, showing yourself that you have died to your soul self, died to your sin, died to your old life, and you're raised back in newness in Christ. But there's another baptism that God wants you to experience. It's the baptism of the Spirit. Listen, people may waver after water baptism. But after you get baptized of the Holy Spirit, that wavering is removed. There's some permanent changes in your life. And my prayer is that God, do it again. Do it here in Point Loma, Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go before God in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, Lord. Lord, right now, I ask you, God, that you may move upon your people, God. God, that you may fill your people and baptize them in the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, I know this is your will. Lord, I know that you said, ask and we shall receive. Lord, you said that you will send your Holy Spirit as your promise. And I pray today, Lord, that you may fulfill your promise, that we may receive this gift. By the evidence of speaking in tongues. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. People are going to get filled with the Holy Spirit today. Amen. And the devil can't do anything about it. Amen. It says in John the Baptizer, he said in Luke chapter 3 verse 16. He said, I will baptize you with water. But he who is mightier than I, who's coming, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. From this verse alone, it clearly shows you that there's another baptism that Christians ought to experience. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Speaking of a spiritual fire and speaking in tongues. And when you speak in tongues, it's like almost your tongue mimics the movement of fire. Robo shadarabasande robo. Irebo sandariarabasanda. That's speaking in tongues. And it's sad that most Christians are unaware of the Holy Spirit baptism today. I was raised as a Baptist in Texas. In the Baptist church, you know, they don't believe in speaking in tongues. They don't practice it in the Baptist church. I wasn't aware of speaking in tongues until we changed churches. When I became a teenager, we started attending a Pentecostal church. And then all of a sudden, this man just spoke out in an unknown tongue. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was the holy language or something. I was like, man, that's pretty cool, man. And I don't know what he's saying, but you know, I knew it was of God. And it wasn't until I came into this fellowship where I heard people speaking in tongues again. And then later on, I understood what it was. In fact, Paul, when he was traveling to the church of Ephesus, there were people who were encountered the same event, not knowing that there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts chapter 19, he says this, Peter, this is Paul speaking. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? And the Christians there, they said this, we have not so much heard that there's a Holy Spirit. I believe that this can be described the church world today. Uninformed. Why is that? It's because we speak out in tongues. They say that's weird. That's awkward. And we don't want people to feel weird or awkward in church. No, Satan convinced you that it's weird. And convinced the church leaders that it's weird. Convincing why? Because Satan does not want you to have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's biblical. It's Jesus' promise. Shunning the people away from his promises. When we lay our hands on people and pray for the Holy Ghost, they say, that's weird too. Well, the whole Bible is weird then. You can't just pick and choose. In Acts chapter 19, just a few verses later, verse 6, he says, Paul laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues. When Peter and John went to Samaria, this is the northern part of further up north in Jerusalem. They went there on a mission to baptize the believers with the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts chapter 8, and when Peter and John came down to pray for them, that they may receive the Holy Ghost, for it had not fallen upon them, on none of them yet, that they only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands upon them, that they may receive the Holy Spirit. The Samaritans were likewise just like the ones in Ephesus. They did not know that there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The apostles knew. They knew that it was essential for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. That there's another experience for believers after salvation, after being born again in Jesus. There's something more than our regular salvation. This is an infilling, a baptism of fire. And they laid their hands upon them. And today, I believe people will be baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. I'll be praying for anybody who wants the filling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I choose to believe God that he will fulfill his word. Because today you have false teachers on YouTube. Teaching the masses that speaking in tongues is demonic. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from Satan. He is holy. Holy Spirit, not demonic spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. How did Paul receive the Holy Spirit? It says in Acts chapter 9, and Ananias went and he entered the house, putting his hands upon Paul, and said, Jesus sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul wasn't just healed with physical blindness at this time, but also spiritual blindness. Salvation happened at the road of Damascus, but being filled with the Spirit happened here when Ananias prayed for him, when he laid his hands upon him. We see in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, as Peter was preaching to the people at the Cornelius house. It happened to all those who heard him. The Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. In this event, Peter didn't have to lay his hands upon people. God just moved. You see, Cornelius was already a believer, a Gentile, and God wanted this Gentile family to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Meaning it wasn't just for the Jews. It wasn't just for the apostles. It's for all believers, all flesh who have come to Christ. And this was the revelation that Peter had about God's plan. He said in the following verses, he said this, the circumcised believers who has come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. This was the experience that they've been baptized, for they heard that they were speaking in tongues. Robo shalarabasande. That's what they heard, tongues. And in speaking in tongues, they were magnifying God. I'd like to talk shortly about what does the baptism of the Holy Spirit do for you. But first thing, it gives you the ability to speak in tongues. This is a spiritual gift. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is the evidence that you've been baptized, for they heard them speaking in tongues. Do you understand what you're saying when you speak in tongues?
No.
No, you don't. It is your spirit speaking to God. You do not understand. Yes, it sounds like gibberish. It sounds like a whole bunch of syllables. But it is a spiritual language. And God understands it. He created all languages. Do you understand Vietnamese when people speak Vietnamese? No. When you speak out in tongues, nobody understands it, but God understands it. It's a spiritual language that God created. You can't translate it word for word. You can't translate each sound, well, this sound means this and that sound means that. It doesn't work that way. It's your spirit speaking to God. And it's Paul who said in Corinthians 14, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than all of you. He wasn't saying this in an arrogant or proudful spirit. He's just saying, hey, speaking in tongues has value. I thank God that I speak it more than all of you. Because people were probably feeling ashamed. Didn't want people to feel weird or awkward. But Paul understood the power in speaking in tongues, and he thanked God for it. He used it every day. He used it in his prayer life. He used it while he was like singing songs and praise. You can speak in tongues while you're singing. It's perfectly okay because it's your spirit singing to God. You can't pray in tongues too much. Romans 8:26, it says this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, meaning that you don't, even when you don't feel like praying, you can start speaking in tongues. Because the flesh wars against our spirits. You know, I go through times when I know I need to pray. And I'm just like, get distracted. So what do? I start speaking out in tongues to get myself in submission. To get my flesh into submission. And you're telling my flesh, you know what? I'm going to start praying. And so I start speaking out in tongues. It helps me. It builds me up. We do not know what to pray for as we ought to. Meaning this, that with you just praying in your English language is so limited in vocabulary. And sometimes you just run out of what to say. That's when speaking in tongues come into play. When you're able to go a little bit further, where you're able to prevail in prayer. Speaking in tongues. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. This is speaking about wordless groans as tongues. Listen here. There'll be a time in your life where English words are not enough. There's a limit in your vocabulary. And you need this gift from God. I find it oftentimes, I get stuck in prayer and I start speaking in tongues until I get breakthrough. What do I mean? Breakthrough is means there's like a barrier and I start speaking out in tongues until this barrier busts open like a flood of waters, and it's refreshing to your spirit. Ephesians 6:18, it says this, praying at all times in the Spirit. That's speaking about tongues. Speaking in tongues all the time. This is not praying in your own understanding, but praying in the spiritual language. It says, what does another thing that the baptism of the Holy Spirit does to you? It gives you boldness to be a witness. You read or study the life of Peter before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He denied Christ. A little girl confronted him and he was scared. And then afterwards, he just wanted to go back fishing. But after he was baptized of the Holy Spirit, they arrested him and he was rejoicing. He had boldness. He didn't deny men. They said, you should not teach in the name of Jesus anymore. He said, we'd rather obey God than men, than you. He had a boldness. And they were counted, and he was rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. There was no longer this timid faith, but there's boldness. A third thing that this baptism of the Holy Spirit does, it builds you up, meaning that it edifies you. And Jude, the brother of Jesus, he wrote in Jude 1:20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That means speaking in tongues. It gives you confidence that your faith needs. Paul says in Corinthians as well, I would like for each one of you to speak in tongues. Why? Because he knows what it does to your faith. He knows what it does to the Christian, the believer. It builds them up. And this is my desire. And it's God's desire as well. Because there's a building factor that every Christian needs. A building in your faith. A building in your prayer. A building in your witnessing and your decision making. It affects the whole Christian life. A fourth thing that the baptism of the Holy Spirit does, that it helps break bondages and addiction. It says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulders, his yoke off from your neck. This yoke speaks about a bondage. And the yoke shall be destroyed, meaning broken, because of the anointing. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit is called the helper. Because he helps you in every area of your life. What burdens are you carrying upon your shoulders that need the Holy Spirit to be broken, to break? You think about the yoke, amen. The yoke is when they put it upon the animal, usually upon an oxen or a donkey or a horse, so they can help plow the farm. But the yoke limits the animal's mobility. It keeps them in like in a straight, he can't just go running outwards. It keeps them in this limited mobility to help plow. It will be very hard for the ox to turn. And you need the yoke breaker, the anointing to break free. You think about driving a car. Have anybody driven a car without power steering? I have. You probably need two hands to turn the car, especially when it's in parking position or standing still position. You need two hands. It's very hard to turn the car without power steering. But when you have power steering, there's a difference. The difference of night and day. One is a whole lot easier. The other requires so much physical strength. And that might be you. How is your Christian walk right now? Are you trying and trying and trying and just exhausted? You need the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit to break free, to walk in the newness of Christ. And this fire, it purifies. It motivates you to live a holy life. There will be things that you only can accomplish with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I say that again. There's only things that will be accomplished with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it comes with power. Spiritual power. Power to witness, to break bondages, to overcome, to pray for the sick. Man, Jesus tells us to go pray for the sick. And you know what? There's like a timid factor. But when you have the Holy Spirit, you can go out there believing in God because you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is missing in your walk with Christ? Every believer has the Holy Spirit living in them, just as Christ is living inside you. But have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? God's greatest gift to the world is salvation through Jesus Christ. But God's greatest gift to the church is the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts chapter 2, forgive me. In the last days it shall be that God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Listen, God wants you to have his promise. It's not my promise. It's God's promise. It comes from heaven. It comes from his throne. It doesn't come from me. I have it. I experienced it when I was 20 years old. And I used them. I asked God to and the Holy Spirit to help me every day. Speaking in tongues. In John 14, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Meaning that he will not give you birth, being born again, and then leave you on your own. You're on yourself. You're by yourself. An orphan. Trying to figure your life out. Trying to figure out this Christian walk. Struggling. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. He's not going to leave you out there being unclothed. But he's going to clothe you like a newborn ought to be clothed. You know, wrapped up like a little burrito. You know? You need to be wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. And he only said in a few verses later, verses 26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, remind you of the things that I said. And this is part of his ministry. You start to be reminded of the things that Jesus said. But listen, this is also marriage language. In the Middle East, in Asia, in Africa, there's a culture where you want to marry a young bride. They pay what is called the dowry to marry the young bride. And in the Jewish culture, when a young man wants to marry a young bride, there's usually a dowry that is promised by the father, that the father will pay for his son to marry the young bride, securing the bride for his son. And then once it's secured, the son will go back home, build a house, get everything ready, and then wait on the father until his father said, now it's time to go get your bride. That's a little gospel in there, right? Jesus came, gave birth to his church, and he said, I'll send what? A promise? What's the dowry for us? What's the dowry for the church? The Holy Spirit. He said, this is my promise. And then he went to heaven, right? To what? Build a place for you. To build a house for you. And then he's waiting on the Father's word to say, go get your bride. In the meantime, he said, I'll send my Holy Spirit to you. I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Listen, if you don't speak out in tongues, it doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. It just means that you just don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because there's evidence. The evidence is speaking in tongues. And today is the day of Pentecost, where God sent his Holy Spirit as promised 2,000 years ago. It's supernatural. The supernatural happened, and I believe God would do it again here in this church. I say again, God's greatest gift to the world is salvation through Jesus. But his greatest gift to his church is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural, being born of fire. But once you are born of fire, I tell you the truth, You won't settle for the smoke. You want the fire. You want to walk in fire. You want to walk with God in fire. You can stay on fire because what he brings is permanent change. Amen. Amen. Let's give God praise in this house. Amen.